Hi, it's Diane, and it is Tuesday, March 7th. I'm with the Noon Group. So far, we have Jane and Jennifer. Who wants to start us with some check-ins and celebrations?
Well, I'll start. This is Jane, and I wanted to just celebrate that I'm able to do the acknowledging and compassion part of the ACE so much better than ever. Before yesterday, my son had an upset with his algebra homework and felt like he had learned the information and that he was good at math. And then he goes to do it and it all goes away. And then he cursed and went up, slammed his door. So I acted differently than I ever, or reacted differently than ever before. So when it was a little bit later, I asked if I could come in the room, which typically I might have gone up, stormed in, screamed and hollered, and this time I just asked if I could come in, and then I acknowledged his disappointment over forgetting how to do the algebra and how hard it is and that I had trouble with it. So anyway, the acknowledgement is good, and the compassion part was there too.
Well, not only that, but you manage your own triggers, which, you know, the for some of us, the not storming in and interrupting and all that other stuff is the hardest part. But that sounds like you did a fabulous job, Jane. How do you feel?
I feel really successful with that because I think it's a tool that I'll carry around always. And I know now that the other never got me anywhere. It never diffused the situation, it only ignited it, and it was all over with in a matter of minutes, and we were able to go on a long hike in the woods and have a good day. So, algebra's still going to be hard, it'll probably always be hard, but at least our relationship's more in fact this way.
Cool. Well, and I think that that's the piece. It's like, you know, part of this is learning tools that we can carry for a lifetime, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yep.
Jennifer, what about you?
We've had some good success in stopping and trying to talk to him about, you know, okay, well, we understand things are going on, you know, what, you know, trying to be a little more compassionate about how he's feeling, and his, you know, his anger or anxiety,
mm-hmm.
You know, frustrations. We had, he had, let's see, I look at my calendar on when we last talked. He had a couple competitions with ROTC, JROTC, and where he could have been just, you know, really, really angry about not doing well. You know, we talked to him and tried to see, you know, what, you know, he was feeling and trying, you know, get him to say, well, it's not going to help to be angry. Let's, you know, look at it this way instead. And I think it helped him not, you know, not being getting to that anger aggravation point.
Yeah, so it sounds like you were able to help him to see the emotion kind of, and then help him make a choice about how he wanted to really respond as opposed to just reacting, with some of the natural tendencies. Is that right?
Right.
Cool. Awesome. So, where do you think you want to take aim today, Jennifer?
Excuse me. I was trying to take some medicine. You know, it's funny how, the topic today is curiosity, and I had a conversation with Janelle Burley Hoffman last night. Are you familiar with her?
Not really.
she was part of Maggie Ray's last thing for Jean.
Yes.
And she wrote a book called I Rules, and I won that book in a coaching and a session with her. So we had it last night, and we were talking about Christopher's online use and data usage and stuff like that. And she was like, you know, you need to get curious as to why, you know, he likes to play these games and stuff. So I think I want to keep continuing on that basis and really work in trying to understand more why my son likes to do the things he does, you know.
So let's love the idea of taking aim on technology use. So if you were going to articulate either the challenge you're having or the change you want to see, where would you point the lens?
Probably on the change of getting him to not spend so much time on the technology and, you know, pushing aside or forgetting about his homework, you know, what's supposed to be done.
Well, so there's two different pieces of that. So if he spent 100 hours a day on the computer and still got his homework done, would there be a challenge?
Well, yeah, because he's not doing his homework, so it's to get him.
I said if he was playing the computer 100 hours a day, but he was still getting his homework done, would there still be a challenge?
Yeah, because it lacks time interacting with us, with his parents,
The challenge, I'm gonna push on this for a second if I can. The challenge is not getting his homework done, or the challenge is not spending as much time with the family. And I guess that if we take aim on the solution, which is we want him to get off the computer so that he can do his homework, we're going to look at it very differently than if we focus on helping him to make sure he gets his homework done. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So is it about the homework? Is it about quality time as a family? Where is it that you really want to focus in?
I think spending time with family. Or, you know, just not being, it's like, dependent on these games.
Well, and so I think that that's the piece. So I want to go, I mean, I'm poking at this just a little bit more than I normally would, Jennifer, because I think that it's the habit that we tend to fall into. And I would tell you that my son and I have worked on this a lot. And when I started going, you have to spend less time on technology, I looked at it very differently than if I said, I'd like to spend more time with you as a family. And so he doesn't spend any less time on the computer than he did before. And he's spending quality time with us as a family. So I think that that's the piece of it, is that if you want him to have less time on the computer, and the time on the computer is the problem, the question I would ask is, so what? You know, what is it about spending time on technology that is a problem? Because there are plenty of people that spend, you know, 24 hours a day on the computer and still live successful lives. If it's about the fact that he's not getting his homework done, or it's about the fact that he needs, you know, you'd like him to be engaging more with the family, focus on that challenge as opposed to focusing on getting him off the computer. And it'll just give you more room and more options for how to solve the problem. Because my guess is that there may be three other things that could increase his time with family besides just getting off the computer. and getting off the computer may be something that he's really not interested in doing, but spending time with family might be something he's interested in doing.
Okay.
There's a subtle difference there. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So is it about, so I just wanted to clarify, it's about spending more time as a family together?
That and still homework, because he needs to do his homework.
So which one do you want to take? So which one do you want to take aim on for this week?
Probably homework.
Okay. Getting homework. So is it getting started with homework? Is it following through on homework? Where is his sticking point with homework?
Following through and I guess acknowledging that he has homework. You know, coming home and doing it.
There's a few steps there. I know it's so hard, and I'm pushing you harder than I normally would, because there's only two of you guys on the call here. But it's kind of like, if you think about the 12 steps of homework. So is it, you know, is it, does he capture the assignment, but then when he gets home, he's in oblivion to the fact that he has homework? Does he not even capture the assignment? Does he have a hard time getting started even when he knows he has homework? Once he gets started, does he have a hard time following through? I mean, there's all of those different steps. And my guess is you're going to have to take aim on several of them at some point. But I think that the thing I want to challenge you is to figure out where's the place that it feels like the best place to start with as a place to take aim. Because getting homework done could be 20 different steps. And you want to take aim as concisely as we can. Does that make sense?
Right. Well, I guess that goes back to always the problem of him capturing his homework, you know, getting his homework down to a, you know, to a place where he remembers that he has it. Because, like, out of sight, out of mind, he doesn't write it down anywhere. He doesn't remember that he has it. There's nothing.
Okay, so it sounds like where you want to really take aim on helping him to know what his homework is when he gets home and having a clear sense of what his homework is. Okay, all right. How does that feel as a specific place?
That would be good if I can actually find something that works, that, you know,
okay.
This has been an ongoing struggle.
Yeah, no, I'm sure it is. And I guess
both with him and with his teachers, trying to get them to give me a little help in helping him.
Yeah, yeah. No, and it's frustrating because there's so many different nuances to this. And so how does kind of breaking it into a smaller piece help you?
Okay, yeah, I mean, it'll have to be small chunks at a time.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, and it may be worth kind of looking at one class at a time. I remember very distinctly kind of talking through with my kids, you know, what's different about this class, what's different about that class, and is there some classes that it's easy to know what your homework is and others that you don't, and so that sort of thing. So that might be a good place to kind of get curious. So, all right, Jane, where do you want to take aim today?
So I've been thinking along because we have the exact same issues, time on technology, homework, but I think it's either sleep or getting the Spanish homework done so he can pass that grade and get a credit for it. So, I think I would like to do the Spanish. So the exact challenge or thing I would like to see change is that we sit down and do it out the house, to word it.
So is it about coming up with a plan for getting the Spanish homework done? Is that where you're at? Or is it about knowing how to help him to get it done? I guess the question is it about the first part and coming up with a plan, or is it about... Where's the sticky point?
I just sticking point is that he's just pretending it doesn't exist. And there's so many other classes. So I want to just make a plan and sit down and just do it, because I kind of know how to go about. I know what's missing. I've had a meeting with the teacher. I know what needs to be done. It's just that we need to sit down and do it together. And he's willing to do that. Just we keep letting it go.
Yeah. Well, and I'm kind of curious, because this is one of those sort of, do you direct, or do you get buy-in, or do you empower, or what do you do? And it sounds like your instinct on this one is to do a little bit more directing. Is that right?
Yeah, he functions well with that, because if I just said do it, he would do it. And if I said, oh, I'll sit down with you and help you, and he can dictate the sentences and I type them, then they're done. And we're good.
So, so how much buy-in do you think you have for this already?
We have pretty good buy-in when I say, oh, it'll go fast. We only have a couple minutes and it'll be done. And look, your grade won't fail and you'll get a credit for Spanish and you won't have to redo it next year. We'll have buy-in.
Okay. All right. Good. All right. So this week, as you both mentioned, we're talking about curiosity. And this kind of ties into, it's one of the earlier steps in the process, because it's a great way to educate ourselves before we decide kind of what solution to put in place, or even before, we start doing ACE or whatever kind of tool or strategy we're going to put in. You know, it's really helpful to kind of just ask the question, what's going on here? And it might be that we want to ask the question about what's going on with our child. It might be what's going on with my child's brain, in terms of looking specifically at an executive function challenge. This week, last week in Sanity School, we were talking about the different executive function challenges, and so you might go back and use like that executive function chart that we have to kind of say, okay, what really is, as we were saying today, what is the sticky point? You know, if he's having a hard time getting his homework done, is it about capturing the assignment? Is it about getting started on the assignment? Is it about finishing the assignment? Is it about, where is the sticky point? The same thing, on the Spanish, as you're saying, Jane, is kind of, is it about just getting his buy-in into getting it done? Is it about helping him to figure out how to get started? You know, where's the right place to stick into the process? So curiosity is a great tool. And I think that the other thing that I like to say about curiosity is that a lot of times it keeps us out of judgment. Right. So if our tendency is to be like, oh, I can't believe they're doing this again, they forgot their homework, they're lazy, they're whatever. If we can say, well, I wonder what's really going on. You know, if you've got a disrespectful child, for example, if your kid is, talking back, which we have a lot of trouble with teenagers, or ignoring that they have homework, instead of going, oh, they're in complete denial, they'd just rather play with their computer. You know, we can, instead of kind of coming to a conclusion, if we stay in that place of curiosity and even say, what else might be going on? Because our instinct might be right. It might be that, it's obviously more fun to play computers than it is to do homework. But there might be something else that's going on. So it might be that they're feeling like it's too hard, and so it's really difficult for them to get started. It might be that they're feeling, like in my house, it might be senioritis, which is kind of what my son's dealing with right now. It might be that he did forget. It might be that, so there's all these other things that could be going on. And so if we take a few minutes just to ask the question, what's going on for my child? What's going on for my child's brain? It can really open things up. The other thing I think that it's helpful for us to get curious about is what's going on for us in the moment. And this is a real great trigger management tool. So it's like if we look at the situation and it's a difficult situation, to go in and say, well, what's going on for me right now? Why is this such an important thing for me? Or why am I getting triggered? Or what do I really think about this situation? you know, curiosity kind of keeps us in that place of exploration, which, as always, the minute we jump to solutions, we tend to shortcut everything, and we definitely come up with better solutions if we take a few minutes and pause and ask a few questions beforehand from a place of curiosity. So what comes up for the two of you on this topic?
Well, what immediately came up for me was I've been taking aim and being curious about my son's inability to fall asleep at night. And then after a day or so, we just go on living our lives, and he continues to go on having trouble falling asleep. So I'm trying to figure out the curiosity part. Like, I tried to educate myself on why kids have trouble falling asleep. And
so what did you find out?
I read articles that it could be the blue light, it could be you turn technology off sooner. And so I tell him that, and he's, you know, at some point, maybe it's starting to sink in, but he still has trouble. He'll say, I took 2 melatonin, and then I still couldn't fall asleep. And I try to tell him he doesn't really want to hear about technology going off any earlier than 9:30.
So hang on a second. So what's his interest level, Jane, in going to sleep earlier?
I think it fluctuates. I can check in with him again. At one point he said, you know, I talked about how tired he was and how it's hard to focus in school, and, you know, it's going to be hard to, you know, even get by during the day because he's fallen asleep. Well, one time the teacher said he fell asleep, but he'll put his head down or yawn or, you know. So I said that to him. He's like, I can get by. I'm tired. I get through the day, and then, you know. So I don't think there was any buy-in on that answer. He's okay with being tired.
But well, and so I guess that's the question to ask first. It's kind of like, you know, you're getting curious on how, why he might be staying up. Well, one of the obvious things might be he's not interested in going to bed earlier.
No, he's not. He preferred to be up enjoying himself.
Okay.
Doing things and then having trouble getting up in the morning and then trying to barely get through the day. But I want to impress upon him and make him motivated and get buy-in on, look what it's doing to your ability to function in school and what it's done to your grades.
Right. Right. And so that's the challenge here, is that we get into this situation where they're not interested at all. We can see the straight line. And so we're trying to get them motivated to do something that we want them to do. So what is it that he really wants?
Oh, he wants to get good grades. He wants to graduate. And he wants to do what he wants to do when he wants to do it. And he's told me that at various times.
So how can you help him to accomplish all of those things? He wants to get good grades. He wants to do what he wants to do when he wants to do it.
Let me think. Well, agree with him that, or acknowledge that it's enjoyable to just do things you want to do, but yet you do want to reach your other goals. So how, maybe sit down with him and ask him how he thinks he can, I get stuck here because I'm not quite sure after that, because I know him, he's not able to figure it out.
So figure it out. How stuck are you on the solution being that he gets more sleep?
How stuck am I that
the solution is that he just needs to get more, that he should just get more sleep. And that's the answer here.
To better grades?
Mm-hmm.
Or? My husband and I think it's a big part of it.
Okay.
It's not.
Because I think that How long have you been working on helping him get more sleep?
Oh, probably several years.
And you're still kind of having a hard time with buy-in, is what I'm hearing.
Yes.
So,
although I think
he's
buying in a little bit better, but he has trouble with follow through on that.
Right. Because it's hard, because there's a conflict, right? Because even if there's part of him that realizes that maybe he might do a little bit better if he got more sleep, there's a couple things at play here. One is that the cause and effect stuff that we can see so obviously isn't obvious in their brain. So the whole sort of, oh, if I get more sleep tonight, then I won't be tired in school tomorrow, it doesn't work the same. They don't see it the same way, because it's tomorrow's too far away. They know now and they know not now. And so right now I really want to do this thing that I'm doing. And so I guess I'm curious, Jane, if you went back and said, you know, what are the components of doing well in school? And kind of looked at all of the components of doing well in school and what's really kind of getting in the way of doing well in school. There's several pieces there. It might be turning in homework. It might be studying for tests. It might be participating in class. When you think about success in school, even in just one class, what's one of the key drivers that you think would be a part of success in school?
For me, it would be motivation, and I always was. I was motivated to do well because I just had that internal drive to do well. For him,
yeah.
I don't know what the component, what would
So let's look at that. So there's two parts of this. There's the theoretical component, which is if you're motivated, if you've got buy-in, I mean, those sorts of things. But let's look at the practical side of it, right? So what is it that's making, so give me an example of a class where you don't think he's having success right now.
Spanish.
Okay. So what is it about Spanish class? Is he turning in his homework? Is he doing well on tests? Is he participating in the class? Which of the if there are those three different categories, which of those is more of a driver, or is it all of the above in terms of his success in Spanish?
The difficulty you mean is that he's not he's missing work. He's not turning
he's missing
in everything,
work.
And does no homework in the class at all. So doesn't prepare. And then he texted me from the class one day and said, ugh, it's so boring. So, you know, it's boring. It might be a little bit hard.
Okay. So it's boring. It might be a little bit hard. He's having a hard time keeping track of the assignments. He's having a hard time being interested in studying beyond what is bare minimum because it's kind of boring. So there's all of these different components. So if you had to pick one of those that you think might lever, like be a better, you know, so if he got his homework done, you said that that would be something that would help bring his grade up in Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah,
so,
the teacher said if he does extra credit and this other, you know, she even explained what it was.
Okay. So on a scale of 0 to 10, how interested is he in getting his grade up in Spanish?
Around 5.
Okay. So how realistic is it that he's going to engage with you in this if he's only a 5?
Oh, because I'll say, you know, Joshua, this is Spanish 1B. I've said this before to him. They gave you credit for 1B. You only need one more credit. If you don't, then you have to take it again next year. And just, I'm trying to get him. You would think that
would
make
you want to. But I know. You would think it would. But so my question was a different one, which is you're doing a great job trying to motivate him, right? So you're trying to paint the logical picture of why he should be motivated, because who would want to take the class over again? The question, I think, that is, if he's only at a 5, how likely is it that he's going to engage effectively?
It'll be at a 5 level with me doing the, I guess we could call it scaffolding, where we sit down and I do maybe 50% of the work, and he does 50, so there we're at the 5 again.
Is that really the way, I guess is the question is that really the way you want to get him through Spanish class? Is you want to drag him kicking and screaming? I don't mean to say it so sharply, but...
he won't kick and scream. He'll be at a 5, and I might be able to get him to pass. And I guess that's my goal, just get rid of it, pass it.
Because I think this is the piece. It's kind of like, how much of an opportunity is this to figure out how to motivate him? You know, so you could, yes, you could drive it and do it with him and make him do it, and you could help him to create some motivation and get his buy-in up and say, you know, is there something that would make this more appealing to you? Do you want to just, you know, I guess the question is, you know, if he's not motivated, you know, it feels like this is more your problem than it is his.
Mm-hmm. All of school is. Every day of school is more my problem than his.
Okay, how does that feel?
Overwhelming. I'm doing, oh gosh, you wouldn't believe what I do. His grades are probably because I stay in constant contact with the teachers, and I find out when the tests are. I prepare study guides. I'm really, really, really working with him. He tells me he works hard in school, so he probably is.
Jane, what grade is your son in?
10th.
10th, okay. It's like my son. Yeah, it's like he could do so much better, but he doesn't care to.
So I think that this is a piece of it, is that you know, when it becomes our problem more than their problem in 10th grade, you know, the question becomes, how do we set them up? Because the reality is that, you can get him an A in Spanish class. You could do Spanish homework for him.
D will be delightful because it's in F now.
No, believe me. I'm in the same boat, guys. I've got a 12th grader, and we, you know, right now he's, I don't know how many missing assignments he has, but, you know, I remember many times we had 26 missing assignments.
The D isn't even an option in Georgia anymore.
Yeah.
It doesn't exist.
So I guess the question for I think both of you is, you know, when you get curious, how does it change it for you to kind of say, you know, is this a place where I should be in charge, or is this a place where, you know, it's an opportunity to kind of hold them a little bit more accountable?
I feel like I've tried to decide the balance between scaffolding, letting him think totally, and doing too much is really difficult to figure out. And mm-hmm. I have seen him in the second quarter with every grade be an F, and the principal telling me, you know, I don't know if, you know, we can keep him in the school. So I'm like, okay, I need to step in. And I did, and I'm not doing the work. I'm doing the executive functioning that he really lacks. I plan it. I organize it. After he does a paper, I might set up headings that should have been there. And then I say email it right away to the teacher.
Yeah. So,
you know,
Jane,
so
what are you holding him accountable for?
Doing the work.
And how are you holding him accountable to do the work?
Well, I show him what needs to be done, and, or, you know, he'll tell me what needs to be done, and I just ask him to do it. Now he'll do it, and then I make sure that it gets either edited or sent in, or the studying gets done.
Okay. And if you were going to challenge him to be, a little bit more independent on one step in that process, what do you think that you could possibly hold him accountable for doing? One more step.
So should I pick a class or pick a idea of something?
Well, so if you're looking
at examples,
so exactly. So if you're getting everything ready for him, and all he's doing is sitting down and doing the work, and then he's walking away, and you're turning it in for him.
Oh no, I make him send the email. Sometimes I've sent it. It depends on the night and how things go.
Okay.
But there is a step or two, a step that we should pick that he should be held accountable for. I'm just needing some more examples of what I'm trying to think.
So I think that's the question is, like, if you go through all the steps, so whether it's organizing, when you think about everything that you do for him,
mm-hmm.
and say, what could I be doing with him? Because in 10th grade, there's probably very little that we couldn't do with them. So there's a difference between I get everything ready and then you come in and do your part and then you leave and then I take everything back versus I'm going to be there with you. You're going to sit with me while, and I might be leading in terms of writing down everything that needs to be done. You might be leading in terms of making sure that it's getting done. I might be leading in terms of making sure that it gets turned in. But we're doing all of those steps in conjunction. It's just a matter of where there's scaffolding versus where there's more independence. And I think that it sounds almost like when you say, I do this, are you doing it independent of him? Are you doing it with him present? How involved is he? Okay.
He needs to be more involved. I spent 2 hours last night on a study guide looking up the answers, and I found them. And then he and my husband studied down in the basement for like an hour. But I prepared that for him, and he slept while I did that. So it kind of irks me a little bit, but then I realize he would never have done it on his own.
Well, so that's a great place to say. So when we say he would have never done it on his own, so we do it for them, there's a long step between doing it on their own and us doing it on our own. And so the challenge and the opportunity is get curious and say, what are some of those in-between steps and what might they look like? Either he does it on his own or I do it on my own. Very black and white. Can you see the gap between those two, Jane?
Yes.
Okay. So give me a couple of examples. Give me a couple of examples of how you could partner with him to get it done, where it's not him doing it all and it's not you doing it all.
To get him to do that, I would have to do a much shorter time frame. I can sit for 2 hours and do that, so it would have to be short. And maybe I could say, Joshua, I'll type up the questions, and then you open the chapter and locate the answers and read it to me, and I'll type it in for you. So I could get him to sit with me for the process and work together instead of doing it all myself.
Is part of the challenge just that it takes longer to do it with him than it
Yeah,
and it's so hard.
Easier to do it yourself than fight with
it. And then sleeping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm going to switch. So let me switch over to Jennifer. I want to switch to you because I'm sure a lot of stuff is bubbling up for you as Jane and I were talking.
Oh yeah, been there, done that. I understand.
Yeah.
His last study guide for world history. I basically put all the answers down for him because he's like, oh, they're not there. I'm like, yes, they are, but he just doesn't want to spend the time.
Well, so how did you frame it? So if we go back, let's get curious. So from an executive function perspective, what's going on for him?
he just doesn't like to, he doesn't like to study. I mean, part of the problem is, I don't think he ever really learned to study, per se.
Okay, so number one, he never really learned study skills. Okay.
Right, so when they say, oh, here's a study guide, fill it out, he's like, okay, first question, what's industrialization? Well, okay, yeah, it's this, like one or two word answer.
Right, so number one is that he never learned how to study effectively. What else is going on for him?
I think he sometimes thinks he knows a lot more of it than he really
So he has magical thinking, which is an ADHD thing, right? That's an executive function thing. So he thinks he knows more than he does.
Right.
Got it. What else?
He's just lazy. He'd rather play on the tablet. He'd rather not do the work he's supposed to do.
So hang on a second. So there was a judgment that popped in there. Can I push on that just a little bit?
Okay.
Wouldn't you rather play on the tablet than do work? I think we all do, right?
Yeah, but when I was in school, I did what I had to do.
So and I think there's two pieces to this, and I heard this kind of language coming out of both of you. That's why I'm kind of stopping on this, because there's two pieces to this. One is he'd rather play on the tablet. The second piece is assuming that that means he's lazy.
No, I think it more in reality, he doesn't know how to do it, so it's easier for him to, number one, not admit he doesn't know how to study, although we've talked about that before, but it's just, if I don't do that study guide, I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to face the problem that I don't know how to study properly, or I don't, you know.
Yes, so it's easier for him to avoid it and not admit that it's going on.
Correct.
Than to, yes, okay. So he never learned how to study. He thinks he knows more than he wants to do. He thinks he knows more than he actually does. He'd rather play on the tablet. And it's easier to avoid it and not admit that there's homework. Okay.
Right.
So those are four things that are probably going on for him that's making it really hard for him to study. How does that feel different than making it about being lazy?
Well, I think it's more of a reality. But, you know, and in my world and, you know, probably with you, we can understand that. Mm-hmm. But to a teacher outside of having direct knowledge of our children, he's being lazy. Or he just doesn't care.
So is the challenge then the judgment from the teacher that he's lazy?
Sometimes.
Yeah. That makes sense. Because the thing that's popping into my head is the just get it done button. Have you guys heard us talk about that before? Yes.
I don't think so.
Well, so for those of us who aren't ADHD, if there's something we need to do that's boring or uninteresting or just something we don't like, but we know we have to do it, there's like almost like a button in our head. We press it and we're like, I'm just going to get this done because I know I have to do it. I'm going to just do it. And the reality is that in the ADHD brain, they don't have a just get it done button. Well, if they do, it's actually hidden by a wire fence that is about interest. Because if the ADHD brain isn't genuinely interested in something, they can't make it happen. Just literally can't make it happen. It's not that they don't want to make it happen, it's that they can't. And so our opportunity with our kids is to help them to see that if they're not interested, it's not going to happen. And to help them understand the role of interest and motivation so that they can begin to take responsibility to say, I do have to get this done. How do I motivate my brain to get engaged? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does.
So with our teenagers especially, it's hard when there's something that we want them to be motivated on. Hey, somebody just joined us. Who's on?
This is Lon from California.
Hi, it says Kaiser Permanente, and it made me laugh.
Oh, sorry. Oh. I'm at work because I don't get good reception down here.
I just was having a flashback for a moment there. Sorry. So it's just, I'm glad to have you with us. We're talking about the just get it done button in the ADHD brain. So I think that with our kids, it's, you know, that's why it becomes important to focus on things that they are actually interested in doing and feel empowered to do. Because then they can go, oh, I really want to make sure that this happens. How can I help my brain to be more motivated? So what comes up for you guys as I say that?
Well, my son, he's really interested in getting good grades, and he'll be the first to tell you that. So that would that be helping him to focus on something he's really interested in?
It and could. And the challenge is, Jane, it's what I think happens with these kids who are really interested in doing well in school is that there's such a long distance between, you know, let's say getting all C's is doing good in school, because that's what we were talking about earlier. It's kind of like passing all of our classes, right? So there's mm-hmm. a long way from getting a C at the end of the semester to right now, which is I've got to get my homework done that was due 2 weeks ago, right? It's that straight mm-hmm. line. He can say all to the, you know, to the cows come home, I'm really motivated for that end product, but there's all of these steps in between. I've got 1,700 assignments in each of these classes before the end of the semester, and I've got all of these steps to getting the homework done for just this one class. The interest has to be much more immediate. So it's not, I want to get good, because for you and I, it's like, I want to get good grades so I can walk backwards and go, oh, if I get my homework done right now, it's going to help me to get this turned in on time, which is going to help me to not get a mark down on this class, which is going to help me to keep my grade up in this class, which is going to eventually lead me to a C. Their brains can't see all those steps the same way we do. So the interest has to be in getting the homework done today, not on the getting good grades at the end of the semester. Does that distinction make sense?
Yes. Immediate.
So I think that that's the question, is that sometimes it's about helping them to come up with some external motivation. So whether that's kind of, you know, mirroring for them, hey, you know, if you do, you know, and kind of sharing with them, well, this is the way it all will line up. Focus on getting the homework done today. What kind of motivation could you put in place to get your homework done today? Do you want to give yourself a reward of some ice cream? Do you want to withhold screen time? Do you want to, you know, what is it that you want to do to motivate your brain to get your homework done now? Because that's really what's going on, is what's now rather than what's, you know, 2 months from now at the end of the semester when I get my results.
My son will pick expensive things.
Okay, well, so go back. So what would it take to kind of go back to him and say, let's pick something smaller?
Pardon me?
What would it take to go back to him and say, let's pick something smaller?
Well, I could do that. He was really motivated, and I got him some of the things. You know, they were pretty big projects he had to do, and he liked that as a motivator to get an army shirt or whatever, and, you know, now he's looking for something else that is.
Well, and I think that's the balance, right? So if it's a bigger project and they can stay motivated through the project by something at the end, that's awesome. And sometimes mm-hmm. our kids are at a development stage where it does motivate them to get something done in 3 weeks. For other kids, they need motivation for right now. They need motivation to get it done tonight. And, you know, buying them a shirt every day may not be realistic. And so it's kind of like helping them figure out, okay, what's something that can motivate me right now?
Okay. Yeah, that could work. If he likes certain cashews or sports drinks or something, that could Subway,
and again,
that kind of stuff.
Yep. And again, it's about helping him to figure out the role of motivation in his life.
Okay.
So if he understands not just, hey, you know, if we don't just say, hey, I'll give you a Subway if you get this done. If you say something like, I notice that your brain does much better when you've got some kind of motivation. What do you think might motivate you to get this done tonight? How does that change it for you, Jane?
It helps to me to see that he can become more independent for his future, figuring things out for himself. Since I figure so much out now, then maybe
yeah.
I'll feel that he can become an independent adult eventually.
Well, and I think that feels very different, which is that you're focused on helping him develop the skills and then learn how to manage his brain,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to kind of just getting through school, which is what I heard you say earlier. And it you know, it's so hard because you just want to get through school, and it makes it really tough.
Yeah.
So, okay. So I know the person who came in late didn't get much time to kind of check in. I'm curious whether you read through some of the materials, whether, you know, kind of if you want to just check in and let us know how things are going with you before we do our wrap-up real quick.
Oh, okay. So as far as motivation and then competition, I think, was one of the things that you had mentioned in the class. So we found an app to help the kids. It's a kids timer app to help them in the morning, and it seems to be working this week for us. So I'm very happy with that.
Awesome.
Yeah, but my question with the last caller, what if her son does do the homework, but then he drags it out and he's throwing a tantrum, but then eventually finishes the homework? Does he then still get the reward or prize because he did finish it, even though we had to deal with all the tantrums in between?
Well, I think it depends on what you're motivating in it. I think that it's important to kind of clarify is it about, that's why we take aim so specifically. So a lot of times you'll take aim on helping them to get something completed, and completed without drama is different than completed. Right,
oh,
and so
okay.
It's usually two stages. So it's kind of like if you're motivating to get it completed, it doesn't matter whether it's kicking and screaming. It's
mm-hmm.
it's done, the reward happens. If once they kind of get to that point, if you're trying to motivate without complaint or without drama, you know, the question is it realistic? And so that kind of whenever we're setting any kind of goal, we want to make sure that they're realistic expectations as well.
Okay.
So. All right, so we are on page 45, and I'm just going to do our quick wrap-up from this conversation about curiosity today. So what did I focus on or pay most attention to today? What's my clarity or takeaway? What's a realistic action step for me to take? And how do I set myself up for success? So jot down some notes, Jane and Jennifer, and we can go from there. The person at Kaiser, tell me again who this is, because I missed reading it.
Lan,
L-A-N. L-A-N. Lan, are you in sanity school? I'm wondering kind of how
yes,
you got in this.
I am.
Okay. Because this is
a different program. The wrong call for me?
It is the wrong call for you, but I'm like glad to hear from you. And I just was wondering, can I call you back and I'll get you on the right call? What's
oh,
a
okay.
big number to reach
yes.
you in about?
Yeah.
I'll call you about 5 minutes.
Do you have
minutes,
my number?
And I'll get you on the right
call. Well, my cell phone doesn't have great reception. Should I give you my
so
work
do you
number?
Wanna, hang on a second. I'm gonna.
Okay.
Can you just send me an email at Diane? At impactadhd.com with your phone number, and I'll call you as soon as I get off this call.
Okay.
Diane at impactadhd.com.
Impactadhd. gmail.com. Got it. All right.
And then your phone number won't be on our recording.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, all right. I'll talk to you in a minute. Bye.
Okay, bye.
Yeah, you don't want everybody in everywhere.
Yeah.
That phone
no. No. All right. So, who wants to wrap up first?
Well, I will.
That was a heavy sigh. Wait, who has a heavy sigh? I just gotta ask.
I think it was me. I'm just like, okay, now what?
Okay, Jennifer. Well, okay. So, Jane, you want to go first?
What did I focus on was the statement that curiosity keeps us out of a place of judgment. I like that a lot. And my clarity or takeaway is helping him to figure out his own motivators so that he'll carry that with him in the future. And the realistic action step is just to discuss with him about motivators and say, let's come up with a good one today, and how can I set myself up for success? I always struggle with that one. Let's see. Make sure I follow through with the plan. Give myself a reward.
What would your reward be?
probably just telling myself you did a good job and look how it's helping him. That rewards me when I look at the progress he's made.
Well, and so part of this curiosity, honestly, is kind of looking at what is it that makes me feel good? What is it that motivates me? I love that you're doing that. So cool. Jennifer.
Okay. I think, like Jane said, I like that, you know, curiosity in place of judgment, you know, trying to really be curious instead of judging him. I think realistic action step. I think for me to ask more questions, to try and make more more time to you know, it's just like him and I just to talk and just ask him questions about, you know, what can help you what can I do to help you be motivated to do your homework or to remember your homework. You know, what can I do to help you?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing that I would add is that he may not know. And so part of what curiosity can do is create a space for brainstorming. So it's kind of like if he doesn't know, then maybe you just kind of try to come up with three different ideas and say, well, you know, here's three ideas I have. Do you have another one? And maybe we'll just kind of try one of them and see if it works. So instead of kind of jumping the solution or assuming that it's one particular thing, if not only do we stay in curiosity, but we challenge ourselves to come up with more than one idea of what might be going on. So when you were talking earlier, there was like five things that we wrote down that might be going on for his brain and for him. How does that shift it for you, Jennifer?
Yeah, that makes sense. And, you know, coming up with multiple, but have him also help and maybe start with the ones that he came up with first.
Yeah.
So he doesn't think, oh, well, yeah, we brainstorm, but then mom doesn't do anything.
Right, right. Well, and I think that that's the piece. There's an article I wrote on the website. I don't know if I've talked about it before, that says what to do when your kid says, I don't know. And this might be a good way. This might be a good example of when to use that. There's some scaffolding that you can put in place for I don't know. And so this might be a good time to kind of use that and check in. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Cool. So what are you committing to, Jennifer? I can't tell.
Finding time to be able to sit down with him and brainstorm, come up with, you know, things that we can try. You know, I hate to say this, I mean, he's 16, but sometimes the best time to really get him to talk and open up is if I go in and lay in bed with him and, you know, he's kind of calming down and relaxing. And that's a lot of times when he will open up. So maybe, you know, just make it a point of doing that, you know, knowing that that's really going to be when he's going to be most open or most relaxed to talk. If that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and that's great because you're getting curious about when the best way is, what's the best way to kind of connect with him. I love that. Cool. So is there anything else you need to do to set yourself up for success here?
No, I think just do it.
Okay. Awesome. Awesome. All right, ladies. So next week is a Lifeline week. We've got a call on Thursday night at 8 o'clock Eastern time. And then PSS is again the week of the 21st.
Okay. So what was that name of that article, what to do when...
Let's see.
Three steps to take when your kid says, I don't know.
Three steps to take when your kid says, I don't know. Exactly.
Or writing the teenage mood storm. I just searched and...
Three steps to take when your kid says, I don't know.
Okay.
What's the problem with this article? Something's going on. Hang on. I'll get my team to fix it. There's all kinds of crazy stuff going on with this article. I don't know.
That looks fine to me. Oh, no.
Looks
fine
until
I read between the lines.
Yeah, something weird is going on here. So I'll get my team to fix that. But hopefully you can read it in between the... There's all these kind of strange computer characters in between. So I don't know. If you can't read it, just wait and I'll send you a note when she fixes it. So
okay.
Sorry about that. All right, thank you. Take care.
That's okay. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, bye-bye. Everybody. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.
Thank you.
The conference is now completed. Goodbye.